And today, as we remember, is St. Thomas Day. I think we've been combined for 3 years. So today is St. Thomas Day, so let's think about Thomas the Apostle. Thomas boldly proclaimed Jesus as his Lord and his God. And tradition tells us that he then became a passionate evangelist of the gospel who was willing to travel far to Asia to tell about the gospel. We are not all called to be a full-time missionaries like the Jacksons in the Japan or like the Cuba to Siberia. But we are all called to be full-time gospel bearers, to demonstrate the good news of Jesus who suffered, died, and raised 3 days after. Do you realize that we all should be full-time gospel bearer? When I say full-time gospel bearer, I'm not talking about those ministers who are hired full-time and therefore they should be the one who preaching and sharing the gospel 24/7. Yes, I'm talking about every one of you, every one of us, including Chris, including myself, and yes, we are all full-time gospel bearers. And as we look at today's passage, this concept will get clearer. So today's Bible reading is 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter is writing to people who are suffering from persecution by the government and suffering from discrimination of the society that result in maltreatment in everyday life. However, Peter says to them, yes, it's a very, very tough life, but beloved, I urge you as aliens and exiles to abstain from the desires of the flesh that wage war against the soul. And then conduct yourself honorably among the Gentiles so that though they malign you as evildoers, they may see your honorable deeds and glorify God when he comes to judge. Yes, life is tough, isn't it? People around you might be hostile to what you believe. They might accuse you or persecute you, and they might make your life very difficult. But Peter wants us to live carefully among unbelieving community. And then, ironically, in the end of the day, they will glorify God and give honor to God when they see how we live our everyday life, and especially when they observe how we react to those bad circumstances. We are God's people. We represent God in this world. Therefore, behave like his representative. How do we behave like God's representative? Right. From today's passage, we have two examples of how Christians in Peter's time should live like a representative. First example, for the Lord's sake, accept the authority of every human institution, whether of the emperor or of governors. Secondly, accept the authority of your masters with all deference, not only those who are kind and gentle, but also those who are harsh.
那兩個例子在我們的經課裡面第13節和第18節這樣說, 你們為主的緣故要順服人的一切制度, 或是在上的君王。 第18節說, 你們作仆人的, 凡事要存敬畏的心, 信服主人, 不但信服那良善溫和的, 就是那乖僻的, 也要信服。
Now notice that these were the two main sources of persecution of Christians at that time. The government of the Roman Empire and a society that's profoundly hostile to Christianity. So let me ask you, how then a Christian can conduct good behavior at that time of suffering? And they ask to be submissively, to living submissively as representative of God. Notice we are talking here about what could be a miserable life of suffering, and yet they are asked to be submissive and to be a good representative to God. Could it be possible? With masters who are kind and gentle, submission is not a problem. But to those who are harsh and unreasonable, can we submit? according to Peter, a servant is called to submit and be respectful towards them. What a shocking answer, isn't it? In other words, you must be submissive even though you are suffering under them, even though you don't like them, and even if they are unreasonable, you must respect them and do whatever they tell you to do. Personally, I don't like suffering. I don't even appreciate minor difficulties, let alone when I suffer for the things that I have not done wrong. And I guess most of you will be like me. But let me ask you, why do we struggle with suffering? And why did we think that suffering is not part of our life? I want to introduce you a very important fact about suffering that Peter is talking here in this letter. Suffering as a Christian is inevitable. Suffering is not a failure. Suffering is not an obstruction. Suffering is not God forgetting about what He promised. Suffering is not the result of God's unfaithfulness. No. In a world that opposed God, opposed Christ, suffering is inevitable. Suffering is part of Christian life. As Christians, you have been called as representative of Jesus Christ to suffer for what is good, to suffer for His sake, for His kingdom, and therefore you may experience pain as a result of injustice. We need to be careful what the Bible tells us about suffering, though. When Peter talks about suffering, being commendable in God's eyes, he's not talking about the suffering that results from our own sin, our own weakness, our failure, or our flawed character. I believe that all of us have a great ability to mess up our life, to complicate our own life, you know, with bad decisions here and there, with some breaking of rules here and there. And as a result, we suffer because of our own rebellion, because of our own foolishness. Sometimes, what we call persecution is not persecution at all. It's a result of our Christian arrogance, self-righteousness, our own pride. And therefore, people around us get angry and they push back. And we shouldn't confuse with the angers that people have than with what Peter is talking about here. If you endure when you are beaten for doing wrong, what credit is that? But if you endure when you do right and suffer for it, you have God's approval. So, brothers and sisters, let's ask ourselves why we are suffering. Are we suffering for God's sake or for our own mistakes? And if we truly suffering for good, our enduring behavior can be a very, very powerful way to promote the gospel. We are the witness to a watching world in a representative way. We're not only sharing the gospel through our formal ministry, like the gospel show. It's not only the gospel, formal ministry, but also not only our spoken words as well. Yes, it is also through the way we live. Our life actually preach the gospel. Let me ask you, how do you react when your boss is unreasonable? How do you react when your neighbor is looking at any opportunity to push at you? How do you react when people mock you or tempt you to break the rules at your workplace, at your school, and in your everyday life living? And when you know you can only advance by playing politics and using some dirty tactics, will you do it? No, you won't. Because you know it. It reflects on your faith, isn't it? So you're actually suffering for it. And some people think when they're suffering, they can behave like a victim. They give themselves permission to do things that they wouldn't do otherwise. They say to themselves, it's just all right, you know, you are under stress and you're going through a hard time, you're going through suffering, so don't worry, relax, you deserve it. No, suffering doesn't change the rule of our game. suffering does not give us permission to do whatever we want to do. It does not give us permission to do whatever we want to do, and most importantly, it does not give us permission to do the things that God has not called us to do. Morality, ethics, attitudes, behavior should not be dictated by external circumstances that are pressing on you. So don't elevate the suffering. So look at Jesus. He never sinned, he never deceived anyone, he did not retaliate when he was insulted. When he suffered, he did not threaten to get even. But instead, he left his case in the hands of God, who always judged fairly. This is the most difficult thing to do, isn't it? To let go of our own case and let God be in charge. It's natural for us to want to take control of our own things. We like to handle our own case by our own ability, our own strength, and our own wisdoms. We judge before even God judges. Do you remember what your reaction was? You talked and listened a lot, right? You talked and listened to yourself, to your family, to your colleagues, to your best friend, to the people around you. But did you ever talk and listen to God first? When we're treated unjustly, we tend to get down and dirty. We retaliate, we work on how to get revenge, and worse, we let sins grow in the moment of suffering. We question God's wisdom, we question God's faithfulness, we let envy, let doubt, anger, and fear take us over, and as a result, we don't entrust ourselves to God. But not Jesus. He never gets down and dirty. He never took revenge, he didn't retaliate and leave or elevate the suffering. He didn't run away from his problems. We know that Jesus actually, he has the power to get himself out of trouble. But he wasn't willing to do that. He believed in God's presence, God's power, and God's wisdom. He believed in God's justice and sovereignty, and therefore he could entrust himself to God. So, do you believe what Jesus believed? Do you believe God is in charge of everything? Do you believe his power, and do you believe that nothing can ever happen apart from his will? Maybe you're sitting there and thinking, it's just too hard, isn't it? I can't do it. I hate suffering for my own faith. I hate being mistreated because I'm a Christian. I would love to be easier and more comfortable. I want to be accepted. Can't let be Jesus. If you are thinking that, I want to tell you there is a hope for you and me. Because Jesus is not only your example, but he is also your substitute. Verse 24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that free from sins, we might live for righteousness. By his wound, you have been healed. Jesus bore our sins. He took our sins on himself and died on the cross. So that, in order that we might live for righteousness. We are no longer under the bondage of sin. Jesus has set us free. If you can't do what Jesus called you to do, it may be because you still think that sin is still controlling your life. Yes, sin is still controlling you when you let it be, when you say yes to it, and when you welcome it into your life. But this situation can be changed. Peter makes it very clear that the redemption that brought by Jesus is here and is now. If he's taken your place, and he's healed your wounds and made you a healthy person, and then you have the power to say no to sin and do what is right. Jesus is a source of strength, wisdom, and power. Without Jesus and the cross, I have no hope. You have no hope. But here it is, Jesus and the cross. So now you and me, we can endure. We can endure mistreatment that results in suffering. We can say no to envy. We can say no to doubt and fear and the anger and the revenge. Yes, we can now behave like a representative of Jesus. Verse 25. For you were going astray like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. What a promise. What a beautiful and encouraging passage. We used to be wandering like lost sheep. We were lost before. We messed up our life, but now we can return to Christ, who is the guardian, the shepherd of our souls. Do you know, you never suffer outside the care of the great shepherd because he has drawn you to himself. If you are his sheep, it is impossible for you to be in any situation, any circumstances, any location in or any relationship that are outside his shepherdly care. Brothers and sisters, so you can endure. And as you endure, you will bring glory to God. You will live like a representative and as a witness to the world. And then, beyond believing, somehow, some way, someone will be brought to conviction. They will be brought to faith. They will be confused about your reaction to those unjust moments. They will be confused about why you say no when most of the people would say yes. And they begin to be attracted to what you stand for. They will want to know Jesus that you know. So do you realize now that why we are 24/7 good full-time gospel bearers? So let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious words. Because you are our great shepherd, you are our guardians of our souls. We know that we can do everything in your name. We can endure pain. We can endure sufferings brought by people because of our faith. Lord, help us here that we're able to say no to all those behaviors that are not commendable in your eyes. Help us to live a good witness to this world, to live like your representative. Father, Lord, help us here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.